Bible this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Ephesians today. And we'll look today in Ephesians chapter number 6. And we'll pick up this morning. We'll look at verse number 10 and going forward from that. We saw last time the matter of the Apostle Paul writing to the believers at Ephesus regarding faith, and of course the encouragement in the first part of the letter. He reminded us of who we were prior to salvation, being controlled, if you would, and carried away by the god of this world and the things of this world. And then he talks about how that you and I are saved by grace through faith. Faith, of course, in Jesus Christ is the grace of God, whereby a person comes to know the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he built on the fact of how we're to live as saved believers. We looked at the structure of the home. We talked about the husband, the father, the mother, the submissiveness, the order of things, God over the home with the children. And of course, even the employer and the employee in the workplace and the servants, and how they're to live as a believer. We're to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And then we found in verse number 10 and following how we're to put on the whole armor of God, who we are, how do we stand in this day and age in which you and I live. And we need this today. I titled the message today, Preparing for Battle. Know your enemy. We're talking about the enemy that lurks around us today, the one who wants to bring us down. And that, of course, is Satan. And we'll look at some of the work that he's doing. But verse number 10 says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, he goes on to say, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, that having done all to stand. I want us to look today and think about this enemy that is lurking around us today. This morning we were talking in the Sunday school hour about the Antichrist John wrote of in his day and time before his departure. John said there were many Antichrists. Those instead of God, those against Christ, those instead of Christ, those who are trying to do damage to the work of God. In his day and time, as well as in our day and time, we find this. And I want us to think about that today. How we can be prepared for battle. We're in a battle in this world. We say sometimes you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything's going to be great and grand. Oh, it's going to be wonderful because now you're a child of God and you have a new home. But the battle has really just begun. Not to say that you're a loser by any means. You're a winner in Christ. And the one that's within us is greater than he that's within the world, because when a person's born again, now they're indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is in you today. He's in the believer, and he is in there to empower us against the wiles of the devil. We talked about that last time, how this one, this Satan, we're to stand, to be able to stand against the wiles, if you would, the schemes of Satan. See, he's always changing his plan of how to attack men or mankind, the believer. He wants to bring sadness, if you would. He wants to bring doubt. He wants to bring discouragement. And he wants to bring disobedience into the life of the believer. For the unbeliever who he has already, he has those things. But for the believer, he wants to cause doubt. He wants you to be discouraged. And then, of course, disobedience. And this is how he works. So when we look at verse number 12, he says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a person, It's not a person that we're wrestling against. It's not this individual, but it's against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to read a couple of places of scripture. I'll turn there. I've got my Bible marked, and I can turn there rather quickly. You may want to jot them down. But in Matthew chapter 10, of course, Jesus is speaking regarding the matter, and you pick up on what he says, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 10, and in verse number 34, he's talking about how the problems that may arise, if you would, even within the home. He says in verse 34, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own house." Now, you're talking about getting into the family. Jesus said this is the reason of his coming. Satan wants to destroy the home. We understand that. The home of the believer. The unbeliever he already has. But Jesus says, "I came to do this, to set a man at variance. The father against his son, the daughter against the mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me or is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." See, Jesus is talking about coming into a person's life and making a difference and putting them, if you would, at odds with those who aren't saved, even within the home of a person who is saved. In Luke chapter 12, I'll read there, beginning in verse number 49, he says there these words, "I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." You see, we're talking about how that when a person is born again, they may have a family relationship genetically, but now you are a child of God. You are of a different birth, a birth from above, a birth not from within genetically, but we're talking about a birth that Christ came to give as he gave his life on Calvary, that by faith in him we can be born again, be born from above. And now with that birth, if you would, the reason and purpose of Christ coming is to make a difference in this day and age in which you and I live. As we think about that, think about how that believers have been born again since the time of Christ, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. They went back to their homes, if you would, their physical structure, but they were a changed individual. And that's what happens when a person's born again. They're born again on the inside, whereby the Holy Spirit now indwells them, and you're a new man in Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." So now the person goes home and he's a different father. He may have been an alcoholic. He may have been abusive to his wife, to his children. But now he comes home, he's a different man. He's a different person. Why? He's a new man in Christ. And now we find that this working of the Spirit of God is being resisted by the enemy. See, before Satan has people, as you think about it today, those who are on drugs, those who are addicted to things that they should not be, Satan has them. He has his hooks in them, and he has them in his service. And now when a person's born again, they're a new man in Christ, and there's a difference in that person's life. And this is what Christ said. He came to make a difference. He came to set it at odds those that are born again against the works of the devil. And this is what he said, for we wrestle not against the flesh and blood. It's those that are not saved, that are not born again, that don't like the things of God. It's not the flesh and blood that you and I are fighting against. Somebody may, they may strike me or strike you and say, I don't like what you say, take this. But really, it's not the flesh and blood, it's that heart on the inside of that individual. That heart is hard, and the heart has been darkened by the things of the devil. See, he has deceived in a manner as he did back in the garden with Eve. He deceived Eve into taking other fruit. He challenged the things of God, and he does the same thing today. This is how he operates. He challenges the things of God. He questioned God through speaking with Eve. Yea, hath God said, he said in Genesis, about taking of the fruit. He wants you to think, is God holding out on you? Does God have something better for you? And what he's trying to do is to make you think, I can do this. I don't need someone to tell me what not to do or how to live. As a matter of fact, he did the same thing with the Lord as Jesus came into this world in the form of a man. He was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. 40 days, 40-day fast, think about that. 40 days in the wilderness, no food. He's God, right? Yes, he's God. He's God, the Son. He's in the form of a man. He's hungry. We know that. We know he lay aside his glory and came to this earth, took upon himself the form of a man. He has the nature of a man, but it is not a sinful nature. The nature being that he hungered, he thirsted, he's by the well with the woman when she came out to draw water. He began to talk with her, but he's been without food now for 40 days. And what does Satan say but to, why don't you turn those stones into bread? Why does he need to prove anything? See, that's what Satan will do oftentimes. See, here's a person now that's been born again by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, by the being put into Christ, and now Satan challenges you through someone else of how you're going to live. Why do you do that? Why don't you do this? Now that you're saved, you say you believe you can go to heaven, why not? You can do anything you want, right? You can, yes, you can, but it's not expedient for you. The things that we want to do is we want to please the Lord. I'm a new person in Christ. I don't need those things anymore. Bow down to me, Satan said to Jesus in the wilderness, and I'll give you all of these kingdoms. He's showing them the kingdoms of the earth, all of this power. Why does God need to bow down to Satan? But see, he's testing Christ in his humanity, and that kind of testing that you and I have in our humanity is pride. You don't tell me what to do, and you don't tell me what not to do. See, this is what Satan wants. He wants us to rise up in pride and say, I don't have to do this. I can do this if I'd like. And we're not who we were. We're a new man in Christ. We've been bought with a price. That's what the Scripture says. And as a result of that, our body, our mind, our heart, our soul, our ears, our eyes, our tongue, our feet, our hands, everything that we have belongs to God. Where we go, how we live, what we see, what we hear, what we say, everything should align with the things of God. But Satan doesn't want us to do that. See, he's under constantly attacking the believer. But it's not the flesh and blood. Again, you think this, my neighbor's my enemy. Your neighbor's not your enemy, folks. It's Satan. He'll work behind the scenes. See, he's a schemer. That word, again, we talk about the wiles of the devil. Methodia means he's methodically working all the time. He'll never quit until he is finally put away. One day, thank God, he's going to be put away into the lake of fire. We'll have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. There'll be no more sin. There's no more penalty of sin. There's no more presence of sin. We'll be delivered from all of this. But now we're wrestling, you see. This thing that we're wrestling with is not flesh and blood, but it's against principalities. And I want to share a couple of thoughts with you about that. This enemy, Satan, how he God he is the God of this world. I got a couple more scriptures I wanted to share with you. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 4, we find these words in verse 3 and 4. But our gospel, he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, you're talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. See, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Once you're saved, you have this hope within you. You've been born again. And this good news now is to tell others what Christ has done for you. For me to tell others who I am. I'm not that same person that you once knew. I'm a new man in Christ. Yes, sometimes there may be things that follow us. Could be the consequences of sin. Sometimes where we lived a life that displeased the Lord, and that's something that continues to follow, but we're a new person in Christ. And what we find now is this. If our gospel be hid, and that's what it, and now we've got the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom, he says in verse number 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. See, God said he's the God, that's a little g, he's the God of this world. Satan is. I thought you said God was over the world. He is. I thought you said God's in the world in the Holy Spirit. He is. But God has permitted this one, this Satan, to be the God of this world. And he hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them, or unto them. See, he's blinded the minds, and that's why he starts so early. Satan tries to get at the children when they're very young. I believe, according to the scripture, for what we understand, that there may be an age that we might call safe. What do you mean, safe? I thought we were all born sinners. We are. We're born with an Adamic nature. We're born bent towards sin. We're sinners. But there may be a time we're called safe, if you would. And how do you structure that? In just a moment, I'll say. But there comes a time where a child now is not safe anymore. He's gotten to this age, or she has, to where they can understand things and they know what they're doing is wrong. And that's what the scripture says in James 4:17. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not is sin. So there's a time somewhere in the life where this child now knows that what they're doing is not right. And that is when it becomes sin. Now, this time of safe, I talk about, how can you deal with that? Well, you've got babies who die at birth, of course. Some babies that are, and I believe God creates all life. And this child may die in the womb. The child may die at just a few days, a few months, a few weeks old. The child may die at a few years old, but they have never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they have never gotten to the place to where that they knew what they were doing was wrong. And by the way, how do you justify that? Well, according to the scripture, it says that in the book of Revelation, where that Satan and those from hell that will be brought before the great white throne judgment of God, those wicked are judged according to their works. That's how they're going to be judged, according to their works, and they're going to receive the reward for their works. And my question is, in this age of safe, if you would, of safety, what has a child done? Well, it's a sinner, yes, but they've done no works to verify their loss, and God will deal with them. I believe that with all my heart. Now, so we've got this God of this world. He's blinded the mind. Now, here's a child that's old enough to understand what's right, understand what's wrong. There's no age of accountability. Someone would like to say, well, it's 12. Well, it may not be. It may be that a child has been in church, they've understood the things of God, and now they know that what they're doing is wrong, and they continue to live that way. And they are sinners, and they die in their sins. They're not safe. And the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel. They have been under the place where the light has been given, and then they reject the light. That's a dangerous place to be. See, we don't come to Christ whenever we want. We don't come to Christ on our conditions. We come to Christ on his conditions. We believe by faith that he died for us. We believe he shed his blood. We believe he took our price, paid the price on Calvary. He took our place on Calvary. And in and through his atoning death, we believe that by faith. We didn't see it, but the Word of God says it. We take it by faith, and now we act upon that. And he said, if we confess our sins, if we believe in our heart, if we confess our sins, if we will confess the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And this is where we come in. It's what we believe and how we respond to it. And if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You understand he died for you. He wants you to receive the free gift of God, but a gift must be taken. He has offered it. He offered himself. You have to receive that, apply it to your life, believe it, and then, of course, you're saved. But the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the mind of those in the world. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we find this also giving credit to what he's doing. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, again, verse number 1, dealing with us. And you hath he quickened who were, past tense, you and I, we're talking about believers now, Ephesians 2, verse 2. And you hath he quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. And you, talking about the believer, hath he quickened, made alive, who were, past tense, were dead in trespasses and sins. See, you and I have been dead. We're talking about being born again. As born again believers, we were dead to our trespasses and sins. Trespasses is where we cross the line. You're talking about people that used to, you had to put up a sign and mark your land, said posted. What does that mean? Stay away. In today's world, it's posted unless otherwise stated. But people, you're crossing the line. God said, this is the line with Adam. He said, you may eat of any of the fruit of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. And here's the boundary in the thou shalt not. God said, thou shalt not do. Thou shalt not. And man wants to push the line. Adam, he pushed the line. Satan pushed it, said, he questioned, hey, yea, hath God said? And she said, well, yeah, but, you know. And then Adam, of course, Eve being deceived, Adam in disobedience took of the fruit. He willingly crossed the line in his trespasses. And he says, we're not just talking about Adam, but we're talking about each one of us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. When, in time past, you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, this ungodly spirit of Satan is working in the world. And Paul's talking about it in his day. How more prevalent in our day and time. Satan is working in this world. He's warring against the child of God. He's working in the world today, and this is what he said. He's working in this against the powers, and this is what we're to stand against. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities. You're talking about Satan. He's the ruler of this world. And as a fallen angel, a created being, other angels fell with Satan. They were created by God. How did this happen? It happened at some point after the creation account. Satan, who's a created being, he willfully chose to sin. He willfully chose to go against God. And a third of the angels, the scripture tells us, many of them followed him. You've got this disobedient group, these principalities and powers, angels of the messengers of God that you cannot see, this invisible, if you would, cohort of evil working in the world today. They can even take on, if you would, the form of a person, entering into that person. You think with me just a moment. When Jesus came to the earth, we find in more than one place in the Gospels where Jesus was confronted with demonic warfare. There were those who were possessed of the devil. Peter and Paul ran into this as the gospel began to be preached and the church was being established. Do you not think that there are demon-possessed people in the world today? Sure they are. There has been and there are today there are these demonic forces where a person can give their mind or body over to this demonic being or more than one. In Mark's gospel, we find where that Jesus met the so-called maniac of Gadara, who was within his body had 6,000, a legion of these evil spirits. More than 6,000, a legion is 6,000 Roman, talking about troops. And he had a legion of these evil spirits within him. They could not hold him. They had him bound with chains, and he's breaking the chains. He's cutting himself with rocks. He's doing these things and crying out. But when Jesus came, it's amazing how that in several of the accounts that the spirits recognized Jesus. Now, son of David, what do you have to do with us? They knew the Lord. They knew him. The spirits are no match for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And these spirits, though, that are in this world today are working against God's people. And again, I'm sharing this with you so that we'll know who our enemy is. It's not our relative. It's not the guy at work that says bad things about you or does these things to you. And by the way, it's the working of Satan through others that's causing the havoc in the world today. You look at the false religions. Something has to be wrong with a person who would strap a bomb onto themselves and go into a crowd of people and blow themselves up thinking that they're going to heaven. Wow. You say Satan is not strong? And by the way, against this evil one, you and I are no match. It's not like that we can sit here and say, well, you know, I'll take on Satan anytime he comes. Friend, without the power of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, we are no match for Satan. He is a strong force. He is a strong being. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we give more credit to him than we realize. We say these people were distraught. These people have a mental problem. Sure, they have a mental problem. Why? Because Satan has gotten a hold of their mind. And we don't take it to say, well, he can't get my mind. Well, sure he can't. If we don't guard our mind, our eyes, our ears, and our tongue, and the things that we do, we'll fall into his traps as well. Look at what Satan is doing today. Again, you've got a cell phone. Most people do. A cell phone's a good piece of equipment. It could save your life. You could hit the button, call 911. You could call the ambulance for a friend. This could be used for good, but at the same time, Satan gets in and he uses it for evil. He gets into the heart. He gets into the mind. Folks, there's not a single one of us that would want some of the things that have gone through our mind put up where others could see what has been our challenge through the past week. It's amazing how that you can be having a cup of coffee and a devotion over the Word of God, and Satan can put a thought in your mind. You can go back 40 years to something that was ungodly. It can happen. And what are you going to do with it? You're going to dwell on it, or you're going to put it under the blood of the Lord? One day we'll be delivered from it, thank God, from the very presence of sin. We won't be able to think that way anymore. All of that will be gone. We'll have a new body, a new mind. And thank God, that'll be over with. But he's attacking the child of God today. Many people who are born-again believers have no power in their life because they have bought into, if you would, these things of Satan. We're not on our guard. We look, we hear, we say, we fraternize, if you would, with people who are not saved. Now, we need to be a representative to the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. But we need to have a purpose in our mind and heart when we go to certain places. By the way, there are places that a believer should not go. You say, well, it's lawful. It's lawful for me to do this. Why can't I do that? Because it's not expedient according to the things of God. You and I have no business going into a bar unless God has placed it on your heart. And he said, that's where I want you to go. Just to think you and I are going to go in there and say, hey, well, we'll just go in and let people, we don't have to have anything to drink. We'll just go in and talk with the guy. That's not good, folks. Now, if God put it on your heart, you've got to go there. There's a person, and that's where the only place you're going to see them. You need to stay with that. But other than that, what I'm saying, It's not just that activity, but there are other activities. You don't have to be around other people. You can be at home by yourself on your computer. And you can pull up. You may want to pull up the news and guess what's flashing over here. Satan is in it, folks. You say, well, I'll just get rid of the computer. Well, you learn how to shut out those things. You don't go there. You don't look at that. You do these things. We're not going to be ridded, if you would, of these principalities until the Lord rids them at the day of judgment. Against powers. We're talking about the power of authority. I like what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. That word that's used there is dunamis, which means like dynamite. It's able to blow away anything that Satan can try to put in our life. The power of God is, but here we have the power, a different word that's being used in the Greek. Exousia means the authority. These authorities against powers. Someone would say, well, why does God permit this to happen? Why didn't God stop Satan in the garden? Because look at God in his holiness. God created man to have fellowship with him. He didn't create a robot that would do just what he said. He gave Adam a free will, if you would. He wants Adam to love him in return for who he is. He wants us to love him for his goodness and what he's done for us. Not just because he said, love me, and we say, okay. And by the way, now that we're saved, we need to know and see how much Jesus did for us so that we can really love him as we should. Folks, sometimes we don't see and love people like we ought to, and you understand this. Sometimes we say, I wish I had done more for this person. It's after the fact. We sit down and we think about, wow, what a wonderful time we had together. And by the way, time's flying, folks. You need to spend time with those you love. You need to tell them how much you love them. My daughter's here this week, thank the Lord. I hadn't seen her in a while, and I love my family. And I love you folks. And we need to concentrate on the things that really matter. And this is where we are. This one wants to destroy that. He wants to destroy the home. That's what he said. Jesus said, I'm going to come and put a... He said, I'm bringing a fire. I'm bringing a sword. I'm going to separate those that against the things of God. But we have these principalities and powers, these authorities, rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's our enemy. That is our enemy. Many people say, well, you know, the devil's been after me. He's been trying to get me. I would say more than likely. Now, Satan is he's not omnipresent. He can't be at all places at one time. He's at one place. He can go. He's a messenger just as angels of God. He could go to another place, but I would think that Satan would be more concerned about the affairs of the world speaking in peace and the nation of Israel than trying to figure out what's wrong with whatever I was working on this week when it slipped and hit me in the head. I can't blame everything on Satan. You see what I'm saying? You can't say, Satan made my, I had a flat tire. You may can, but if you saw the tire check edge, a check tire light on and you drove on anyway, maybe let's don't give him credit for it. Let's don't give him credit when you run out of gas and the gas light's been on for 3 days. He's got enough credit coming like it is. But folks, we've got to use our mind. You say, and that is kind of funny. Use your mind, stop, pump gas. By the way, it's getting cheaper. But we've got to use our mind to say, I'm not going to allow these things of Satan to dictate my life. But we don't do it. We hear what the Lord says by the preaching of his word, but then we go home and we turn on the tube and nothing really wrong with it. Well, what's right about it? You know, is it feeding the flesh or is it feeding the spirit? What's right about it? You can't feed the flesh and expect to live in a spirit that's pleasing to the Lord. So how do we do that? Well, we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And then we go forward in the power of the Lord. So this is what we know. We've got an enemy who's against us. And we need to recognize this. Come to grips with it. Before we look at next time looking at the equipment that we're to, and how we're to use it, we need to say, there's an enemy trying to pull me down. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your family's life. He wants to destroy your home, your friends. This is a real fight, folks. And he can't get any more ground than what we allow. The Lord permitted Satan to tempt Eve and Adam. He permitted that. Why? Because he's God. Now he's provided a way in our temptation and in our fall to make our way back to him and to see his holiness. He died on the cross for our sins. Jesus did. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God saw that man would fall, and God had a plan. Not a second thought, what shall we do? Let's do this. He said, no. Christ said, I will die. I will pay the sacrifice. And he did. And that sacrifice, that blood that was shed on Calvary, covers all of man's sin. And we have to take that in faith, apply it to our life, and then live as God would have us to live. Yes, we're in a world where we're attacked by the enemy, but we have the power of God to defeat the enemy. And of course, he tells us, we'll see, Lord willing, next time, how are we going to defeat him in a daily battle? It's a daily battle, by the way. Sometimes, folks, it's moment by moment. Sometimes we're hit with things that we don't understand. Why did this happen? I thought this was going to be ready, and it's not ready. What about this? And Satan is working to defeat us, to pull us down. But the Holy Spirit that's in the world today is working. We got family and friends. We have those who are lost that we're praying for to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have some who are saved and they're not walking in fellowship with God. We need to pray for them. God hears and answers our prayers. Let's stand together today as we bow our heads and hearts before the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're a child of God and you understand that Satan's been working hard on you and you know where it's coming from, and today you say, Lord, I need your help. I'm thankful to say God's here. He's available. He wants to help you in your present circumstances, whatever it may be. Put the past in the past. You're a born-again believer. Put it under the blood and go forward. You're here this morning. You've never received the free gift of eternal life. Today, say, Lord, I believe your word is truth, and I believe that Jesus died for me. He shed his blood for my sins, and Father, I want to be saved and to live for Christ. I want to have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide my life all the days of my life. You're here today, and maybe perhaps at some place and point in your life, only God knows this morning, you feel defeated and you need to come to the Lord today and ask him to give you the power to go forward in whatever this struggle is. He's here. He's working. The Holy Spirit is working. You bring your need to the Lord. God will give you what you stand in need of. He loves you. Christ loves you. Father, we thank you today for your precious word, for exposing to us what works against us. So, Lord, we can know how to stand. So that we can see who we are in Christ and know that we have the power to defeat the evil and the wicked one. And Father, we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.